Hey there. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to make sure that you've grabbed our free wedding planning resources that I made specifically to help guide you through the overwhelming details of planning a wedding. Head over to planningcollective.com/free-guides and sign up for totally free resources on expensive wedding planning mistakes, the first four things every engaged couple needs to do, a full backyard wedding or unique venue wedding planner, and our pre-wedding worksheets that every couple needs. All four of these downloads are currently available, and we're working on some more fun and, of course, free resources coming your way soon. Again, you can find all of them at planningcollective.com under the free guides tab. See you there. Kate McClellan, pro wedding planner with over 16 years of experience helping more than 400 couples down the aisle. I started Planning Collective to help all couples get through the overwhelm of wedding planning by sharing my actionable tips and tools that I've used over the years working with my clients. We'll focus on getting rid of what I like to call FOWO, the fear of wedding oversight. This is an unfortunate condition that almost every couple will suffer from at some point. Let's get you back to enjoying the planning process. Here we go. Hey guys, Kate here. Welcome back to another episode of the Wedding Planning Collective podcast. Today, I want to talk about some wedding-related details that I'm going to guess you have been overthinking. Now, a quick disclaimer before we get started. This is a tough love edition of the podcast intended to help you keep your priorities in check during the planning process. Some of the things I might mention will be priorities for you and your fiancé, and I don't mean to diminish that in the conversation we're having today. However, there are some common areas that I see couples get hung up on over and over again, and I'm here to say that it's okay, and probably even healthy, to let it go and not overthink it. All right, let's get into it. Number one, the perfect wedding date. Now, of course, your wedding date is important, but isn't it going to be important because it's your wedding date? While it may work out perfectly that your dating anniversary or another date you had in mind is available at the perfect venue, but don't stress over it if it feels like you're just picking a random date out of a hat. You'll definitely want to give plenty of thought to the time of year you want to get married, as well as some of the other location-specific variables that we spoke about in episode 31. For example, if you're in a college town, check that football schedule before picking the date. But once you've confirmed any potential conflicts or issues with the available dates, it might come down to a simple flip of the coin, and that's fine. I mean, if you really think about it, you didn't get to pick the date for your birthday, but it's still a special day for you. And the same will be true about your wedding date. It might feel like a random date on the calendar now, but it will become very special to you and your fiancé in time. Number two, your wedding party and loved ones' involvement or excitement in the planning, or maybe the lack thereof. While I'm sure your family and friends are very excited for you and your fiancé, the truth is no one is going to be as invested or involved in your wedding day as the two of you will be. Ugh, that's the tough love part, right? Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't share in these big moments with them, but I can't tell you how many posts I see about brides and grooms being disappointed in the lack of support or excitement in the wedding-related events. And while I hope you don't experience this, try not to take it personally if they seem to change the subject faster than you'd like when you're discussing wedding details. If there are specific expectations that you have in your wedding party or family when it comes to helping with the wedding plans, make sure that you outline those expectations very clearly to them when you ask them to be involved in the wedding. And here's the kicker. You have to be okay with it if they're honest and let you know that they're just not able to meet those expectations. While the wedding will likely be one of the main things you're focusing on while you're engaged, it simply won't be the priority for everyone. I hate it when I see posts online about the misunderstanding of these expectations, leading to people being either uninvited from the wedding or, worse yet, ending friendships. While there's not anything wrong with having hefty demands for your wedding party and family, you should consider that not everyone will understand the importance or simply not able to commit to everything you need from them. If you do find yourself in this position with somebody in your wedding party or family, see if there's a smaller role that they can play in the big day or just let them know you would love for them to enjoy the wedding as a guest. Number three, finding the best deals. Now, this is what I struggle with outside of the wedding world, so I can super relate to those that get obsessed with finding the best deals out there. If you've listened to any of the episodes that I discussed the budget, you know that I am not one to encourage frivolous spending when you haven't planned for it. However, when it comes to wedding planning, there is always going to be a cheaper vendor or product out there. And with literally thousands of vendors in every market, it's simply not possible to have an accurate comparison of all the possible options. While I fully support you doing the proper research, don't let picking your DJ or photographer take months and months while you wait to talk to every possible option. In episodes 35 and 39, I discuss more details on building your vendor team, and in the third episode of the podcast, I went over how to know if a deal is too good to be true. After reviewing these tips I shared, you'll likely find yourself making decisions when there isn't a solid right or wrong answer, and that's where it can be really tricky. There may be two amazing photographers offering similar packages and quality of work, and you'll have to trust your gut and make a decision. You don't want to miss out on their availability because they booked your date while you were trying to meet with all of the other photographers available for your date. Number four, wedding traditions and trends. We're going back to our priorities with this one, meaning I want you to keep in mind what is important to you and your fiancé over any wedding traditions or trends that you're seeing others do. For example, if you've always dreamt of doing the garter and bouquet toss, don't let what we talked about in episode 57 dissuade you from doing it. While it is something we're seeing happen less often, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do the toss bouquet if that's what you really want to do. And on the flip side, you don't need to do anything just because it's tradition. While we find that most couples do want to have a first dance on their wedding day, I've definitely had couples that are so nervous about dancing in front of a group of people. And that stress and anticipation just might not be worth it. Keep Marie Kondo in the back of your mind with all things wedding planning and ask yourself, does this spark joy? If not, don't waste your time on it and focus on the things that are most important to you. Number five, gown, venue, or vendor regret. This one is a scary one, and it can be tough to decipher between true regret of a decision or purchase and simply the grass is always greener thoughts. Planning a wedding means that you'll be making lots of decisions, and as I mentioned before, there will be plenty of times that you'll be choosing from several perfectly good options. While it would be so much easier if there was an obvious right or wrong answer, that's not always going to be the case, and that's where the dreaded gown, venue, or vendor regret can kick in. And social media has made this so much more difficult because you're constantly flooded with more and more options that you maybe didn't previously consider. If you're starting to feel like maybe you made a wrong choice, do your best to figure out where those feelings are coming from. Is there something negative that's actually happening to make you feel frustrated with your gown, venue, or other vendors? Or is it just that you've been eyeing another gown, location, or even photographer online that you didn't know about before? If there's a legit reason, that's definitely worth exploring to make sure that you nip any potential problems in the bud and make changes that you may need to as soon as possible. However, if it's just that nagging little feeling in your belly that maybe there's something better out there, try not to get hung up on those feelings. Remember that comparison is the thief of joy, so do your best to not get too caught up in that, as it's just going to dull the excitement you previously had about your wedding decisions. And number six, this is actually the one that inspired this episode topic, and that is guests returning the RSVPs in a timely fashion. Every single day, I see a post in a wedding planning group about the frustration that is waiting for your guests to RSVP, and I totally get it. There are so many wedding planning things that are unpaused until you know what your guest count and seating arrangements are. Why can't people just send the card back as soon as possible? But unfortunately, you're likely going to have to just wait this one out. So do your best to not get too caught up on refreshing that RSVP link. Back in episode 67, we talk about the timeline for sending out your invitations. And part of that is figuring out your RSVP due date. Most caterers and vendors that are based on your guest count will require your final counts 10 to 14 days before your wedding. I recommend adding a week or two to this to get your RSVP due date, which should ultimately be about 3 to 4 weeks before the wedding. This gives you a week or two to follow up with the guests that you've not heard back from yet, which there will inevitably be at least a few. As tempting as it is to make the due date a lot earlier than that 3 to 4 week mark, I don't recommend it as you'll likely end up with more changes in the RSVPs the earlier you make the due date. While knowing your final count 2 to 3 months before would be amazing, it is so not worth the last minute shuffles you'll be making with people who can either no longer make it or were able to make arrangements and can attend as it gets closer. So what do you do about guests not sending back their RSVPs right away? Simply put, you wait. Once you hit the due date, you can shoot them a group text or email reminding them to get back with you as soon as possible. A couple of days after that, you can send out another reminder to those you still haven't heard from, nicely letting them know that if you don't hear back in a day or so, you'll assume they're unfortunately not able to make it. Frustrating? Yes, but try not to get too obsessed about the numbers coming in. Your vendors are very used to not having the exact counts until that 10 to 14 day point. And on the plus side, you're likely to reply much faster to all future wedding invitations you receive after you've experienced this very frustrating part of wedding planning. Those are the 6 things that I see couples spend too much time overthinking when it comes to their wedding. And remember, the only things that are important are the priorities that you set in the beginning of the planning process. This may include some of the things here, in which case, spend all the time in the world focusing on them. But if you find that you're overthinking in one or more of these areas, just try to let it go. It'll help the planning process feel less stressful, and it will allow you to focus more time and energy on the things that are important to you. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Was it too much tough love or just the thing you needed to hear to move on? Head over to the Wedding Planning Collective Facebook group and let me know. And if you found this episode or any of our previous episodes helpful, would you take a quick second and rate and review? It would really help us get these practical and real-life wedding planning tips in front of more couples, and it would absolutely make my day to know that I'm helping with your planning process. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode. This episode is brought to you by the Wedding Planning Blueprint Course, the new way to plan your wedding. I've been a professional wedding planner for almost 20 years now, and though nothing can beat the excitement of a wedding day, my favorite moments are sharing the real wedding planning experiences and tips that no one else is talking about. I designed this course to help take you from feeling lost and overwhelmed to educated and in control of your wedding plans. The course includes 24 lessons that are structured to help you first create your wedding planning foundation and then build upon it in an intentional way so that you don't make one of the most common and expensive mistakes, planning your wedding backwards. The newest feature in the course, Wedding Chat GPT, allows you to ask your wedding planning questions and get professional answers 24/7. The answers are pulled from the course content, which makes the responses reliable and actionable. This will be a true game changer, saving you time and money while you plan your big day. To see a full list of what's included in the course, head to planningcollective.com/WPB course. Working with a wedding planner would literally cost you thousands, but now you can have the expert advice and tips for under $150. And while the course is a steal, I do recognize that that's still an investment. Make sure you grab our free download, Expensive Wedding Planning Mistakes, and I can promise that that alone will save you the cost of the course. You can find our free guides at planningcollective.com, and I look forward to helping you plan your wedding.